Hey, I'm Jane Lindholm. I'm the host of Vermont Edition, and I'm just popping in to tell you that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. The coronavirus pandemic has had a major impact on Vermont's workforce. In the past 2 months, Governor Phil Scott's stay-at-home executive order has uprooted the working schedule of thousands of people. During this time period, as many as 30% of Vermonters have filed for unemployment claims, and many more have had to figure out creative ways to work from home. When this health crisis is over, will we find that more and more people will be interested in working from home? Does this opportunity lend itself to some job sectors more than others? And how will employers feel about this possibility? What are the pros and cons of teleworking? The UVM Center for Research on Vermont has just released a major survey about how people think about this issue. And with us today to discuss the findings of that survey is Richard Watts, who is the director of the center. Richard, welcome to the program. Great to have you.
Great to be here, Bob.
Richard, I think there's been a discussion for years about the possibility of expanding telecommuting opportunities across the state. Not a lot has happened. But bam, in the space of 2 months with the coronavirus, everything seems to have changed. You've done a survey of over 600 people around the state. We should mention it's not a scientific service, a survey like a poll. Nonetheless, it provides very valuable information from a lot of Vermonters. What's the takeaway from that survey, do you think?
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Yes, what a moment. We're all telecommuting way more than we ever thought we would. As many as half of working Vermonters are now telecommuting or doing telework in some way or other. And the opportunity here to have this really enormous controlled experiment to have a sense of what people are thinking about it was what spurred us to take the pulse, so to speak. And a couple of things come back pretty clear. One is that employees are finding some benefits for sure in doing this. And one of the holdups in the past is that employers were skeptical that employees could work productively from home. And I think that this moment is showing that actually it is possible to work quite productively from home. And so kind of bottom line of those surveyed, of which about 60% were outside of Chittenden County, more than half expect to telecommute more when things return to something like normal. So more than half. And then more than two-thirds, to your earlier point, said that they felt there was more their organization could do to enable them to telecommute more. So I can dive into any of those, but the big picture is that there's clear interest in increasing the amount of telecommuting that happens both among employees and among employers at some point in the future.
Richard, as you looked at the responses that you got, and as we say, you got over 600 responses and people were very clear about how they felt. For those people who saw this as a positive experience, why was that? What do they enjoy about telecommuting?
Yeah, so we asked, and this is kind of the richness of the survey, which is meant to guide further research. So we asked people just to tell us why would you like to increase the amount of telecommuting you do? Why or why not? And on the yes side, five themes emerge. One, people feel more productive. They feel like they're getting more done at home. Two, people talk about how much they hate commuting. They hate driving. You know, and we ask people how much time they spend driving and, you know, too much. And they see that that's an expensive and a waste of money. Some people talked about the environmental impacts. They feel better about driving less. And then a fourth was that more time with their families, more time with their children, or somebody wrote more time just to smell the flowers. And people felt that it was beneficial for their mental and general health. So that's on the plus side, why they felt, sort of five key themes. On the no side, you know, why it doesn't work for them, some people wrote that they miss being with people. And I think we're all experiencing that a bit. The internet broadband issues, of course, that come up in all these conversations. Some people have jobs that don't allow telecommuting, or the job itself is not conducive to telecommuting. And then the fourth reason that people talked about on the no side was their workspace or the place that they were working out of didn't feel productive or conducive to working at home.
Richard, do you think that going into this pandemic that, I mean, you mentioned that maybe some employers were skeptical about this idea, that there was kind of a myth out there that if people work from home, that they're going to be lazier, they're going to watch TV, nobody is supervising them, so they won't be so productive. But it turns out that perhaps the opposite is true?
I think that's exactly right. I mean, before this, there's a whole lot of employers who we know were skeptical of employees working at home. And people have written this. I have 130 pages of comments, and that comes up frequently. I can do this. I can do this productively. I'm actually more productive at home. But we asked them, what are the policies? What are the ways that your employers might enable you? And in many places, there is not a telecommuting workplace policy. That is, it's frowned upon or it's not even allowed. And some people wrote also that there's kind of a culture to your question that doesn't really support, that doesn't suggest that people who are working at home are productive, although, again, people are telling us that they are. You know, interesting enough, some people said, you know, so there's the policy, just this written policy that would enable people to do this, but there are other issues that could be fixed that are pretty small, like on the IT side, you know, enabling the connections better or the preferred platforms for doing all of the stuff that we're all sort of learning by doing right now, Zoom, and, you know, what are those that work the best and what are the ones that companies could support. But overall, I think it's about normalizing this behavior and saying that it actually is productive to work at home.
Richard, I'm wondering, did you have some people who felt like, well, I like working at home, but I like to have sort of a sharp line between when I go to work and when I'm at home. And if I'm working out of an office at home, I'm almost always at work.
You know, I hear that doesn't come up a ton here. I'm, you know, maybe people are getting better at drawing those lines. You know, when we're talking about telecommuting, it's not an all or nothing thing, of course. It might be one day a week. I mean, we asked people, how many days a week do you telecommute now? And, you know, it was maybe two-thirds were zero. Going forward, how much would you telecommute? You know, some part of that two-thirds, it might be a one-day or a two-day. So it's not 5 days, but it's sort of around the edges of increasing the amount of time that they're home.
Let's talk to Emily, who's calling from Milton. Hi, Emily. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I have a few suggestions. I've been working from home for 10 years, and I've been giving tips to my friends online. And some of the things I've been saying have been the biggest part for me when I started working from home is that you don't want to live at work. You know, you work from home, you don't live at work. So you want to make sure that you shut the door at 5 p.m. You keep 9 to 5 hours, just like you were as if you were commuting to an office. And then at 5 p.m., shut the door and leave it there. So you got to make sure your home office is in a separate room, even if it is your bedroom and you don't spend other time in that bedroom. And don't set your office in a high traffic area. Don't set it where you're going to see chores that need to be done or, you know, where kids or pets are a distraction. But other than that, I highly, highly recommend working from home. And I really think it's a good way to keep cars off the road and, you know, give people a less stressful life.
Emily, thanks for your call and your advice. Richard, a lot of people, you mentioned this in the response from the survey, not having to commute is a big deal for a lot of people. I mean, some people have commutes that are half hour, 45 minutes, an hour in each direction. That can be 2 hours of your day right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I like Emily's suggestion about don't make the workday longer, but that hour or 2 hours that you're not driving become time maybe that you can do other things around the house. And that's what people are writing in the survey. I think, Bob, just one footnote on all that. We're curious also, if you're driving less to work, are you going to do more stuff in your local community? And the answer is yes. So you might, your recreation, we're all seeing this, but people are walking, being outside more, that may be happening in their local community, shopping locally. So there may be other benefits in addition to not driving somewhere that also benefit your local community.
Let's go back to our listeners and talk to Richard, who's calling from Essex Center. Hi, Richard. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me. So I work in education, and it was quite different, the shift to remote teaching and learning. But I have found that some of the students I work with are highly successful, more successful doing this than the regular classroom.
And why do you think that's true, Richard?
There's less distraction. I work in a middle school, so it's busy. And I think some of the students I work with, it's easier for them to hunker down and stay on track and do the work. I just got a report from one student I work with that is doing so much better. And I value it.
Richard, that's really interesting to hear. And perhaps other folks have some experiences they'd like to share with us where some remote learning for education can be a positive thing for a number of students. Let's talk to Beth in Essex Junction. Hi, Beth. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you.
Hi.
Hi. So, yeah, I do life coaching and parenting coaching, usually in my office, face-to-face in Essex Junction. And I found that working on the phone, I tried Zoom and didn't like it, so just thanks to working on the phone, has really just excellent connection. I was pleasantly surprised that the human connection for that kind of personal work, that it still happened even over the phone, and that it was more convenient for many parents. I expanded my hours into the evening and somewhat earlier into the morning, so it made it more convenient for parents who were homeschooling especially. And I even found somebody who was in an airport and in crisis because someone found me in an airport and in crisis because his mother was dying and he had all these strong feelings. And it was pretty great actually hooking up with him on the phone right on the spot. It's actually one of the nicest moments I've had with somebody.
Beth, I'm wondering, is it helpful if you've had personal interaction with these folks before you go to using the phone?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the answer is yes. Making that initial connection in person is really, really meaningful. And still, I was pleasantly surprised, like the man I just talked to you about. I met him for the first time on the phone. A friend passed him my name. He was in the airport. His mother was in the last moments of her life, and he was on his way to go see her. And that was my first meeting with him, and it was super heart-to-heart, and it was pretty great.
Beth, thank you very much for sharing your experiences with us. With us, the director of the center, Richard Watts. Richard, great to still have you on the program.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, and joining us for this segment is Jonathan Slayson, who is director of RSG. Now, that stands for Resource Systems Group. It's a national transportation consulting firm that's based in Burlington. Jonathan, welcome to the program.
Well, Bob, pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you. Jonathan, as you look at this potentially huge change in the workforce of people, more and more people working from home, it would seem to have a dramatic impact as well on our whole transportation sector, public transit, automobile use. As you look at it, what are some of the things that stand out for you?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Nationally, we've seen public transit demand dramatically diminished, about 80% below where we were pre-COVID levels. And that's just so important for many of our working Vermonters, as well as those in more urban areas of our country that rely on a public transit as an efficient way and cost-effective way to travel. We see that services are being cut even here in Burlington and the Montpelier area at GMT. And then we also see that there are some benefits, is that we see commuting could be 30% of our total traffic on Vermont's roads and maybe around 50% of any individual's annual traffic or travel. And there's benefits from an environmental standpoint. We see reduced greenhouse gas emissions that would be resulting from fewer vehicle miles. But there's some negative effects of that. And we discussed that there'd be fewer gasoline taxes collected. If we potentially double our working from home percentage, we could see potentially $3 million in fewer gasoline taxes collected to maintain our infrastructure. And there's a variety of other implications that we'd be excited to discuss, such as land use and how urban areas, our downtown Burlington is much quieter than it has been, but we see other activity areas kind of popping up throughout the state. So there's a lot of effects.
So, Jonathan, as you look at all this information, do you expect that some of these trends and behaviors will continue after the health crisis is over? Are we seeing sort of a tipping point in personal behavior in some of these areas?
I think the UVM study done by Richard and his colleagues, I think, highlight a great opportunity. Whenever we have we haven't had a pandemic in our lifetime, but whenever we have such a serious situation, we get to have a chance to pause and reflect and what do those changes mean for us. And I think we all know that there is no going back to quote unquote normal. There's going to be a new normal and it's going to be an evolution. And so I do think there's going to be lasting effects to what we see today. And as the survey points out, we see a substantial number of employed Vermonters suggest that they would like to have more working from home opportunities. Today, there's approximately, or pre-COVID, there was approximately 31,000 employed Vermonters working from home. And it might be higher than that if you do a one day or a half a day here and there. And it's clear that times are changing. Just recently, yesterday, New York Times had a big article talking about how Google in New York City is allowing people to work remotely for the foreseeable. J.P. Morgan Chase, with 180,000 employees in the New York City area, said that they are going to shift and reconsider their requirements to work in their offices. And so we do definitely see that this is going to be something that I would expect to continue.
Jonathan, you wrote in a recent paper, and this is a quote, talking about virtual meetings that have popped up. And I think everybody who's been working at home and certainly at VPR, the idea of Zoom meetings has now become part of your regular life for better or for worse. And it's certainly something that local governments are doing a lot. We see the legislature meeting this way, different House and Senate committees meeting on Zoom. And you wrote, these virtual meetings come with some new challenges, but they also offer new opportunities for engagement. What did you mean by that?
Well, I think we've all had for those of us that have dialed into a remote meeting in the past, and let's say 5 years ago, before this technology has really become more mature, there'd be a little voice sitting on a telephone in the middle of a room. And I think that person got the short end of that conversation. They were not as involved and engaged. And now we have an opportunity where everyone's on equal footing. And I think that was the idea behind that comment, that we now have a way to engage as long as we do have internet and access to this technology, which we know that there's a number of Vermonters that unfortunately do not have that luxury. But I think we're going to see greater emphasis in improving access to the technology, and then we have ways to be on equal footing. We each have our own little face there sitting in the corner.
And Jonathan, do you think that both state, local, and national transportation policy people should take a pause for a moment here and see how this trend develops before they recommend any big new investments in transportation infrastructure?
That's a fascinating question. I unfortunately, we see that there's a lot of pause and reflection right now, particularly on the investment side for major infrastructure. And I think that is wise. And I think that's why these surveys that Richard has done, as well as surveys that RSG conducts nationally, we try to develop a baseline and where we are today, where we were before. And we need to develop ways to track these behaviors. And then once we get confidence that certain behaviors might stick, certain industries will be more or less affected, then we can make those decisions. I think right now it is premature to decide anything, but it's not premature to study and evaluate.
Richard, I wanted to come back to you because you spent so much time researching key issues facing the state of Vermont. You have a very good sense of how different issues are interrelated. I'm wondering if you can just step back from a moment and take the view from 30,000 feet and tell us what are some of the big picture impacts that could take place if more and more Vermonters are able to telecommute?
Yes. Well, thank you, Bob. And you, for that big picture question. So, you know, Vermont has some big challenges, as the governor and others talk repeatedly about. One is our demographic kind of status quo. We're pretty much stable on a population. Some places are growing more than others. There's a Harris poll out today or yesterday that says some 30% of people in urban areas are going to think about moving to rural areas. Is Vermont have the infrastructure? Can we drive that development in the ways that we would want to drive it? That is, into our village centers, into our compact settlement patterns, and avoid, the sprawl and houses that are way far away and up on mountaintops that cost us added money to support. So if it's true that Vermont is a place that may become increasingly attractive, how are we ready for that? And on the telecommuting side, or telework, the more broad way to think about it, there's a bunch of other things that we're seeing happen. Telemedicine. In the survey, we also asked people other ways that they were using these technologies to commute less, to stay in their house, to do the social distancing. Telemedicine, clearly, is one way. Use of some professional services that people are starting to do over the phone may reduce some of the trips. I think, though, we know, Bob, and I listened to the governor's press conference, and thank you to VPR for making those public, that this is going to be with us for a long time, and we're only going to slowly get back to whatever this normal is. And so people are going to be working from home or being at home more. So if we can use this moment to really think about what that means for the policies for those people, and also for people who might think about coming to Vermont, how we can enable that. And that gets back to some of the infrastructure questions you asked John about, broadband, but also just at the employer and public employer workplace. What are the rules and requirements and laws and norms and regulations that are going to enable people to be able to be home more if that's the way we're headed?
Jonathan, you talked about sort of the economic impact of more people working from home, that perhaps there'd be a little less pressure on downtown areas, but maybe a little bit more in other areas. So it definitely has an economic component to it.
Yeah, that's right. We've processed some data at RSG where we've shown, and I think it's visibly apparent, that some of the more commercial and non-residential areas, namely downtown Montpelier, downtown Brattleboro, and Burlington across the state, showed dramatic decreases in activity in where people were visiting and conducting their business. But what happens is that if you happen to be working from home, if you're fortunate to remain employed in this situation and you stay at home, you're going to want to conduct some of your business closer to home. And what that's going to do is stimulate some more economic activity in some of our smaller village centers across the state. And I think that's kind of a silver lining here, is that it will result in some new activity that otherwise may not have happened if we're going to see a greater emphasis on this working from home. And I think picking up what Richard just said is that I fully expect that we might be a beneficiary to realize some new residents of Vermont, because people having greater opportunities to work remotely for other national firms, and they might reconsider a Vermont residency and realize our better quality of life.
I mean, that's something the state has been working on for the last couple of years with limited success, but it sounds like you feel like this actually could be a major factor in some people's decisions.
I think given the fact that some major companies are reconsidering rent and spending money on office space nationally at $30 a square foot, where in New York City it's nearly $100 a square foot for commercial office space, that is just resulting in some calculations where businesses are going to support individuals to save some money, and they're going to work from home. And it might mean they need to invest in improvements in the home workplace. I'm working from home, as we all are today, and I have family close by, and not all of our homes are designed to work from home yet. So there are some real constraints with this environment. So that's why I think it will be a phased process, and we might see some individuals and also some sectors respond quicker than others.
We did get this email that came in. Working from home has been positive, though strained with also having a grade school student at home. I have more personal time. It eliminates my commute, which is wonderful on all levels. I'm also getting work done faster, and I'm getting to home projects that have been languishing for years. I guess for some people, the experience of the last 2 months has been compounded by the fact that if they are working from home and they have school-age children, they're also dealing with the children and responsible for the education of their children. So this has been a really complicated time and challenging time to be working at home, Richard.
Yes, and Public Assets, which is a really fabulous think tank in Montpelier, just published a blog yesterday about this. I think there's 61,000 families that have kids at home. And so we have to really, as we, you know, the people who responded to our survey were pretty positive overwhelmingly, but we have to be really aware of the digital divide, the possible class, economic, social issues at play here, in that some people have certain types of jobs that lend themselves more to this type of work or are in households that enable them to do it more. So, you know, be really sensitive and thoughtful about all of that, while at the same time recognizing all the tremendous possible benefits of allowing people to telecommute more.
And Jonathan, you touched on kind of the designing of a home office. And for some folks who are doing it on a temporary basis, it might be, well, I'm operating out of the dining room or a corner of the living room, and it may just be a very temporary situation. But designing a space that really works for you and it will allow you to be more productive would seem to be a very important part of this whole experiment.
Yeah, I can't agree more. And there's been anecdotal evidence of that, of people trying to retrofit homes. I think Brookings had an article yesterday where a major home builder is anticipating a greater demand for a home office in terms of their home design and their footprint. So I think it's going to show up, and we realize that working from home is not a long-term solution if you're working from the kitchen table. And just to pick up on that situation, that we're in a very difficult one now with schools being closed, and it allows us to think through this working from home, but it can't be the solid base. We know that this is probably an unsustainable situation at this point, and we need to imagine in the future with daycares open and schools somewhat resumed. But we know that it's going to be a difficult staggered starting, and given yesterday's news that University of California system, the 23 college campuses, is going to remain closed for in-person campus activity for next calendar year, that's a real difficulty for families in California.
Jonathan Slayson, who is director of RSG, a national transportation consulting firm based in Burlington. Jonathan, many thanks for sharing your thoughts on this important topic with us today.
Well, thank you very much.
With us today is the director of the center, Richard Watts. And joining us right now to give us a perspective from the business point of view is Betsy Bishop, who is the president of the Vermont Chamber of Commerce. Betsy, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me, Bob.
So, Betsy, do you think the experience of the last 2 months is causing some employers to reevaluate their policies about having their employees work at home?
Absolutely. I think we have all been put into a place where we're experimenting in a way that we probably never imagined. And I think it has gone from the employer perspective, from a lot of the businesses that I've been talking to, has gone surprisingly smoothly. Sure, there were some initial, you know, technology, making sure folks had what they needed to work from home. But now that we're 2 months in, I think many of those initial problems are smoothed out. And I think people are getting accustomed to this being a little bit of the new normal.
And Betsy, from an employer's point of view, why would employers be interested in encouraging more of their employees to work from home? What's the benefit on the employer side?
Right. Well, I think, to be honest, I think some of that we're still figuring out. But one of the things that was happening pre-COVID-19 on the employer perspective was, if I can take you back 2 months, we were in a labor shortage. We had a very tight labor market, and employers were always having difficulty attracting new employees. I think you mentioned about how we're trying to attract people from away to move to Vermont, and how do we do that? And one of the things that employers have been working on for a number of years is being able to offer sort of a flex work time, work schedules, ability to work from home, being able to do that. And while they weren't doing it in droves, certainly the way that it's happening now, there was some thinking going on. You know, you go to any workforce conference, any HR conference, we're talking about if you're going to be an employer that is going to attract talent, you need to be flexible in the environment. So this has jettisoned, the COVID crisis has jettisoned that whole crisis forward so much more quickly. And the experiment has happened. We now know how this is working and what needs to be done. And so I think that as we emerge from this, certainly a lot of the conversations that I'm having with businesses are, what happens when the order does get lifted and we are allowed to go back to work? So there's a couple of pieces of that is, what happens immediately as we bring workforces out of their homes and back into the workplace? Do we do that all on one day in a phased approach? Do we do that quickly? And what I'm actually hearing from employers is they're having conversations with their employees about, what does that look like for you? And so it sort of goes along with the survey that Richard did, and that is that it's probably not going to be all or nothing. It's probably going to look a little bit more phased, like, well, ideally I'd like to work from home for 2 days a week and from the office from 3 days a week or something like that. And I think those conversations are happening now, and that's exciting.
And Betsy, we've been talking during this hour of the hope of the Vermont business community that to try to attract younger workers to the state. Do you think that if more and more businesses go to a telecommuting situation or perhaps a hybrid system where people are working 1 or 2 days a week from home, could that be something that would attract younger families and younger workers to the state?
Absolutely. I wrote an opinion piece a couple of weeks ago where I sort of challenged Vermont to use this crisis as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to think about Vermont as becoming the work-from-home capital of the world. We have one of the safest states. You look at our national rankings every year, and Vermont's always on top for being a safe state. We have a quality education system. We have, you know, in this new world, if you'd like to stay 6 feet apart from somebody, you can buy a house or have an apartment in almost any, even in our most urban settings, and have space around you. So we're ideally set up for that, and especially with our outdoor recreation, world-class activities available right out your door, we're ideally set up for that. The one place that we have some work to do is around our broadband and our connectivity. And so, you know, we think that that is an opportunity that we can use some of the funding that might be coming from the federal government to enhance our infrastructure and make sure that every place in Vermont has the ability to connect.
Richard, Betsy just touched on it. If Vermont is going to be able to have a successful and a thriving work-from-home culture, broadband access is absolutely critical in all parts of the state, and that's something that doesn't exist now.
That's true. That's true. And clearly there's moves to use some of this COVID-19 federal support to perhaps go in that direction. And I just want to agree so much with Betsy on this idea of this moment. People are home and they're figuring out what works for them and what doesn't work for them. And businesses are understanding what works or doesn't work for their employees. In one other point that came up in the survey was that as people really think about being at home in a serious way, and it could be the 1 or 2 days a week, they're trying to think about ways that their business can really support them. And that might mean things like helping to pay for their internet or helping to think about how they can make a space in their home that works for them. And on the flip side to that, as John Sleason said earlier, perhaps there's less cost for their business at some central location. So there's really interesting things that we can think about in this moment. And I so agree with Betsy that we should really take the time to think about how we can come out of this as a stronger and exciting place for people, not only people to come to Vermont, but for those of us who are here.
You know, we did a study with our sister project, the Vermont Futures Project, where we reached out to young professionals all around the state, and we issued a report in January. And one of the findings there was, you know, we were asking this group of young professionals, you know, why are you here? What keeps you here? What worries you? Are you thinking about leaving? That concept. And one of the things they did talk about was this notion of flexibility within the workplace. You know, I want more flexibility. I want to be able to work remotely. And connectivity came up. And so it's fascinating to sort of understand what our young professionals are looking for. And here now we, you know, when we first issued that report in January, it was like, okay, now we know what they want. How do we get it? Now we're at that, we have a moment in time to position Vermont in a way that not everybody can position their state or their town to be like that. I mean, imagine if some of these large companies that Jonathan was talking about nationally are saying, you know, we're going to have a work from home policy, and you as an employee of whatever company in whatever city can work from home. That actually means they can work from anywhere. Now we're talking about, where do you choose to live? Where do you choose to raise your family? Where do you choose to recreate? Vermont is often at the top of that list. We know people love us for all of the things that we have to offer. So that could be it, not just about how do we attract Vermont workers to Vermont businesses, but how do we attract a work-from-home workforce so that they can enjoy what we love here in Vermont.
Let's go back to our listeners and talk to Peter, who's calling from Shelburne. Hi, Peter. Welcome to the program.
Thanks. Thanks for taking my call. I'm curious about just one aspect of the idea that, you know, working from home and we having this a wonderful place. I agree. I moved here. I'm a Vermonter by choice. But I'm not sure that I see the direct connection between actually moving to Vermont and being to work remotely. If I love Philadelphia or New York, I can stay there and work. And still work remotely to a company in Vermont. I don't have to move here. What's going to get me to move here if I'm not really into Vermont anyway?
Well, and so one of the things I would say is pre-COVID, we were looking for, when we look at the gap, the workforce gap, we needed about 10,000 people. I'm sure that number has changed now. But when we think about that, we don't need millions of people to move to Vermont. We just need a fraction of folks. So if you're that person that you just described and you're living in Philadelphia and you're happy there, well, then maybe Vermont's not for you. But we do know of a whole bunch of people who visit here regularly, who come as tourists, who say, I wish I could make it here. I wish I had that opportunity. For that cohort of people, this moment in time might be that moment where they decide to move. We certainly saw that after 9/11, where we saw people rethink where they're living. Certainly not millions. But we just need hundreds, thousands, and that will really help our employers as they reopen.
And Betsy, just to put that in perspective, if 35,000 people decided to come to the state of Vermont and then work remotely here, that would be an increase in our labor force of over 10%, which would be quite sizable in this day and age.
Yes, and I don't think that's going to happen quickly. But we're a small state, so, small numbers help build that, and that's what we're looking for. I also think we have to recognize that as we emerge from this closure that we have, this stay home, stay safe order, as we emerge over the summer and fall, I think a lot is going to change, and I think there are some pieces of the economy that may not recover in the same way. And I was just fascinated by the survey that Richard did about some of the questions on the survey I hadn't really given a whole lot of thought to, but you heard Jonathan talking about it, you heard Richard talking about how could our economies in some of our rural areas change if more people in Vermont were able to work from home.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we're kind of conflating the two things about people moving to Vermont who could telework, which clearly is something that we want to promote, and the people who are already here, which was what my survey was about, and how much they would like to increase the amount of telecommuting they're doing and the positive impact that might have on the places that they're living, in that they're less. We just one last little detour here. Robert Putnam, a very famous sociologist, found that every 10 miles people drive from their community, they're 10% less likely to be engaged in their local community. So if people are home more, there might be some added benefit for our small towns and villages.
And I want our listeners to know that there is a link to the survey at our webpage at vpr.org if you'd like to learn more about it. We're almost out of time, Betsy, but it sounds like you see this whole idea of working from home. This could be a good opportunity for the state economy.
I think it could be, and we'll have to think about our economic development policies and the type of businesses that we're attracting to allow that, which will also match our educated workforce. And there's always going to be industries that just doesn't work for, in manufacturing or some hospitality positions. So we understand that. But to the extent that we can make it happen, I think you're going to see employers willing to do more in this area than they have in the past.
And Richard, is the survey still open for folks to respond to it?
Absolutely. Remember, part of our purpose is just to gather all these thoughts to guide future research. But I think that that's an important point, that this conversation may be starting to happen between employees and employers. And that would be one benefit of this moment, people starting to figure out what works and how can we make it work better if you want to telework.
Well, it's been a great discussion about what could be a major shift in how people work in the Vermont economy. Many thanks to our guests, Richard Watts and Betsy Bishop. Thank you both very much for taking the time to be on the program today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.